This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
The expectation in the industry over the last 24 hours is that Dylan Cease is not going to be traded to the Yankees to save their rotation in light of the Gerrit Cole injury. Number one, I've been told that the Yankees are reluctant somewhat to add payroll right now.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me means the world.
Sources confirm that fun.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's good to talk a little bit of baseball as the Cubs have landed. They're doing all sorts of cool stuff in Japan, getting ready for next week's games against the Dodgers and the exhibitions against a couple of the teams from Japan. John Morosi now joins us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show as we start our hour of baseball. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Visit CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, John, how are you?
Lawrence and Speaks, I'm outstanding, my friends. I wish I was in Japan right now as well, but I will send to you Ohayou gozaimasu, which is good morning. It's about 6 a.m. There in Tokyo as we're getting ready for the Tokyo series there, but I will be up early, I promise, watching the Cubs and Dodgers there next week.
As will we, but let's touch on some other stuff around the league because we're going to do plenty of Cubs a little bit later on in the hour. First off, is Luis Robert among names still being bandied about as possible trades? Do you expect any more trades of consequence between now and opening day?
I would not rule it out, but regarding Robert in particular, I would say that I checked on this in the last 48 hours and was told, yeah, there are still some inquiries here and there, but that there's nothing hot in terms of a Robert trade conversation gaining any momentum. I think the industry has taken note of the fact that he's had a pretty healthy and productive spring, which is crucial for the White Sox, just from the standpoint of trying to be competitive in 2025, more so than they were last year, certainly, and also rebuilding his trade value, because we know that right now he is the big piece that they could move and still get some value back at the trade deadline. And I look around the industry, and I know the Astros were mentioned at different times as being a possible fit. Well, they like young Cam Smith, who has come in and really is on the verge of winning a job for them. The Yankees, they look at Jason Dominguez as still someone that can play every day in the outfit. And I don't think that we're going to see Dominguez traded to San Diego for Cease and then the Yankees pivot and try to acquire Robert to replace Dominguez. That's just a lot of movement to see happen in the last days before opening day. Yes, we certainly saw somewhat of an aberration a year ago with Dylan Cease. By the way, I had that moment of the anniversary, if you will, because it was right as the Padres were boarding the flight that they made the Cease trade when they were going to Korea a year ago. And of course, the anniversary of that is right now. But I just don't see a trade of similar consequence right now happening, certainly not for the White Sox with Robert, and perhaps not anywhere else either in the coming days.
John, is there anyone who's out there, whether the person is on a roster and you expected them to be traded or is still a free agent, that you go, that person could really help Team X and they haven't been moved or signed yet?
Kyle Gibson stands out to me as a starting pitcher. I know there was a report today about the Cubs speaking with Lance Lynn, and I think that's probably more of a swingman type role where he would pitch out of the bullpen. I think Lynn's stuff would play up if he's a reliever, whereas Gibson is more of a classic starter. And you look at the number of teams that have had injury issues come up, whether it's the Yankees most especially, the Baltimore Orioles now with Grayson Rodriguez and Kittredge both having issues there. The Yankees, my goodness, they're beginning this year with a lot of uncertainty. And I'll also look at the Boston Red Sox, Lucas Giolito with a hamstring issue there where he's going to begin the season on the IL. So the American League East in particular, I just mentioned three potential playoff teams in the last few minutes who are having some injury issues with some key starting pitchers. And you've got someone in the case of Kyle Gibson who is still out there and available. And Lance Lynn certainly could still be a back-end starter for somebody. But the name that stands out the most to me right now is Kyle Gibson, who I'm really surprised right now, Lawrence, is still out there and available.
Yeah, Lucas Giolito said he threw today and he felt 100% fine, completely asymptomatic. And he's grumpy about not being allowed to get going right at the beginning of the season. But look, you mentioned Lance Lynn, and I'm with you. Like, I want no part of him as a starting pitcher. Like, no part of him. He threw, 117 innings last year, got absolutely lit up as a starter as Kyle Gibson's teammate there in St. Louis. But he said earlier this spring that he was open to be a reliever. I could see his stuff in that role. Any news on whether this would be a major league deal or a minor league deal? If it's with the Cubs, that would be important to me.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a really important distinction. I don't have any details on if it would necessarily be a major league deal, but I would point this out, that Phil Maton, who from the standpoint of his career is not as accomplished of a pitcher as Lynn is, although he's more proven as a reliever, you would say, he just got a major league deal from the Cardinals. And Derek Gould pointed out, by the way, that was the first major league free agent the Cardinals had signed all winter. Thanks for joining the conversation, St. Louis, there with the signing of Phil Maton this close to opening day. But I think given what Lynn has been able to achieve, and again, I'd put Kyle Gibson in the same category, they should get major league deals. Heaney got a major league deal with Pittsburgh. So I do think that the market interest should produce that, especially if you get more and more teams with a need for pitching. And I didn't even mention with Boston, with Bayo being out as well. So there's a lot of injuries there. And I think with Giolito, I understand Lucas's frustration. He signed a multi-year deal there and hasn't even pitched in the regular season yet for the Boston Red Sox. But when you consider where they are at and how close we are now to opening day, we're less than 2 weeks away, or basically exactly 2 weeks away today. So it's to me, it's a very short amount of time when you've had to just get backed off and then you just got into game action and then you still have a hamstring problem. It's a really inopportune time, I think, for Giolito to try to ramp things back up. So I think reluctantly, the Red Sox have made the right call there.
John, Mookie Betts is maybe my favorite player in the game. And I think it's strange that everyone's just kind of like, oh, yeah, he's totally going to play shortstop at 31 years old. He's going to make that full-time move over to shortstop. Why are the Dodgers doing this? And is there precedent for someone moving to play shortstop primarily at this age?
That's a great question, Lawrence. I can't think of another player who has spent this amount of time at the outfield and then has come into the infield. You certainly have seen it in the opposite direction, even for Hall of Famers. Robin Yount comes to mind, shortstop who became an outfielder. Craig Biggio.
It's happening with Jose Altuve right now.
Right, Altuve right now, exactly. So you're seeing players that have done similar things in that direction, but you almost never see it happen this way where you get closer to the action. And he is going right into the center of everything. But to your point, Lawrence, and what you're talking about, and by the way, I feel the same way. Mookie's on the top five all Morosi team in all my years of covering baseball, favorite people that I've been around, in addition to favorite players, because he gets it. And I think there's something really unique from a team dynamic perspective. When you've got someone who's won multiple World Series and someone who says at this stage, he's already done it all. But think about what it means for your team. when you've got one of your best players and your best examples saying, hey, give me the tough assignment. I want to make it hard on myself. And I remember last year when he first made the transition to play shortstop, Lawrence, he was there. It was opening weekend. I was in L.A. doing the games there. And there was Mookie on the field early, like hours before first pitch, working on ground balls with Dino Ebel, who's their great infield coach, who, by the way, Dino Ebel was also working with Matt Shaw last year with Team USA. We'll get to that in a minute. But Dino Ebel was talking to, with Mookie and working with him. And I asked Mookie about what it was about the work that he was doing. And he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, I'm working myself to the point where I fail. I'm working to the point where I fail. And anybody who works in athletics or anybody who's raising children, we think about what that means to encourage and to push yourself to the point where you fail in front of all these people who are used to watching you succeed. It's a very humbling thing. It also sends a powerful message to the players around you that, hey, listen, if Mookie's doing the hard thing, we better do the hard thing too. If Mookie's out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Dino Ebel 4 hours before first pitch, we better be there too. And so if Mookie wants to do it, he has earned the right to take on the hard thing, and he is certainly athletic enough to handle it.
All right, what's your Matt Shaw thought as it pertains to the Cubs? Matt Shaw makes the opening day roster for Japan.
I'm thrilled, and by the way, he's going to know where to show everybody around town in Tokyo because he was there in November. I was there covering that series, the Premier 12 event, playing for Team USA. That team was non-40-man roster guys, some veteran players, some free agents. Rich Hill, by the way, was one of the ace pitchers on that team, and then there were some prospects, and Matt Shaw was one of the prospects. He played third base there, so on that very same infield at the Tokyo Dome, he's already played there, which is, I think, a big advantage for him. And he worked, I mentioned Dino Ebel, is one of the best infield coaches we've got in the world, and playing for Team USA, if you ever have a chance to ask Matt Shaw, ask him about the impact that Dino Ebel made on him, because he got to work with one of the best in the business every day for 3 weeks. And he was working on short drills where you're really kind of working on your reflexes, getting your hands moving. And he became, from my eyes, watching the games, doing the broadcasts, a much better defensive third baseman at the end than he was at the beginning. And so I think in a lot of ways, it comes full circle for Matt Shaw, where he's certainly, he was there as a prospect in November playing for Team USA, helping him win a bronze medal. And now he's got a chance to be there as a starting opening day third baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Pretty cool moment for him and his family.
John, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate you jumping on.
Happy almost opening day, and enjoy that series next week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks, man. That's JP Morosi. He's the best. He really is.
He is, and I'm glad that he gave that context on Matt Shaw, too. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's been some cool things happening in Japan. You've had to look for it, but they have been happening, and we'll discuss that a little bit later on inside the baseball hour, because that's what we're doing here inside the 4 o'clock hour.
Knee deep in the baseball hour. You talked about Mookie Betts, my favorite player in the game, as you guys were talking about the move to shortstop after being willing to do second base and center and right field and being able to accomplish it all is outrageous. Jose Altuve being moved, he has played all but two of his 1,767 major league games at second base. All but two have been second base plays. Last year, he made only 5 errors at second base, did Jose Altuve. Now, the metrics will tell you that he's bad at second base. They've been telling you that for a long time. As long ago as like 2017.
Yep.
Jeff Lunau wanted to move him off of second base.
But the bat plays, and you don't want to mess with anything that's going to mess with the bat playing.
In 2020, he was brutal, especially in the playoffs. That was a weird-ass year, obviously, and a weird-ass year for him with the scandal and the isolation and the mental battles. And yeah, exactly. And they wanted to move him off second base so Marwin Gonzalez could play there. And it should be clear, right now the Astros are...
It's my cousin Marwin! Hey, listen to this!
It's your cousin Marwin, Marwin Gonzalez. Oh my God. They were going to move Altuve to left field, if they signed Bregman. That was the whole deal. That's why this thing began. If we bring back Bregman, then because we got Isak Paredes, we got to find a spot for him. We'll move him over to second base. And Altuve said, I'll play outfield. It's cool. They didn't get Bregman. So Paredes is playing third. You know who's playing second for them? A mix of Brendan Rodgers and Mauricio Dubon. So for those two guys, they're moving a franchise icon to left field. And he's embarrassing himself. This was
having a rough time.
This was today, man. This was a deep fly ball to the wall. Not over, but to the wall in the Astros game.
This one hit high in the air to left field. Wind blowing out that way. Will Altuve have a chance at the wall? He kind of mistimed his jump. It went off the wall. And Jake Meyers is going to try and play it back into third base. Sliding in with a triple is Ivan Herrera.
Well, he's also 5'5", so I don't know if him jumping is going to be the best thing either.
Yeah, but Lawrence, what you can't hear
is that he didn't have to jump. He could have just played it.
He didn't have to jump, and then he froze and didn't know where the ball was. He stood out there and was looking around. He turned around. He looked over the wall. He looked into center. Meanwhile, the ball is bouncing back towards the infield off the wall, and people are just taking bases left and right.
It takes time when you're moving to another position, and as someone who spent the majority of my playing career in the dirt, when you go out to the grass, it is a very, very disconcerting feeling.
I got to tell you, I spent most of his career absolutely loving Jose Altuve. Absolutely loving him. And then, of course, you hear about his role with the garbage can thing and the possible buzzer he was wearing and the don't take off my shirt because, oh, yeah, no, it's a tattoo I didn't like. No. You didn't want to show the world the buzzer and all of that and everything. I didn't love him for a while. My initial reaction when I saw that play.
You felt bad for him.
I felt bad for him. And I use the term franchise icon in this segment because it's
You're
like.
You're not wrong.
And Tanny, you nailed what it reminded you of. I think you nailed it.
Okay, so I said it reminded me, and I wasn't old enough at the time to know the context as it was happening, but when Hawk Harrelson took over as White Sox GM, you're talking 85, 86, and what was his first move, Lawrence?
Move those walls back.
Well, no, his first personnel move was to move Carlton Fisk
to left field.
Yeah.
Move a Hall of Fame catcher, one of the greatest to ever play it, to left field.
Yeah, go on out there. Pudge, go do your thing.
And Pudge was old.
He didn't have knees at that point.
His knees were gone.
Yeah. He didn't have knees. They put him in left field. They took his knees away.
It was awkward to watch him run without knees. It was just like there were stilts. It was like a man on stilts.
It's like that movie Gattaca.
He definitely moved that
way.
That's
why they gave him that motorcycle at the end of his career. They should have given it to him 10 years knees. Earlier.
He was riding with Wani.
Ethan Hawke had that.
It's
a fun movie.
It is a fun movie. Uma Thurman, right?
I think so.
Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman?
Is that where they met?
Gattaca?
I thought that was her.
Halle Berry? Ethan Hawke and somebody.
Because it's supposed to be like the perfect society, right?
Yeah.
No. It's the one where
was this Uma?
He gets the leg implants to make him taller.
No. I'm pretty sure that Uma Thurman is in Gattaca.
Let's see.
Uma sounds right.
It is. Right. Yeah. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman, and that's where they met.
Oh, I was thinking Jude Law. I'm sorry. Maybe, but Jude Law also went.
Yeah, the whole idea is that, you know, like you get like the most beautiful people and you're making the most beautiful people in the world.
Right.
I wonder if that's where they met because then they eventually got married and had a couple kids, including Maya Hawke. Maya Hawke is the daughter of Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Was Maya Hawke, now we're just playing, is this,
she's the best I ever
get
saw
up on the internet. Was she one of the Manson characters in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I think she was. As was Mikey Madison, who went on to be in Enora.
That's the whole thing, is that that group of the Mansons, all of them went on to stardom.
Margaret Qualley. Right,
and
the actress who's in Enora,
Mikey Madison,
and Sydney Sweeney. That's what, Sydney Sweeney's in that. Yeah, sorry, I made a little mistake, but
listening.
I made up for it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
she's also like not as prominent of a role as those other actresses, but she's also in that.
That's good casting, Quentin. Way to go, Quentin.
I'm sure he got all the pictures
of their feet. Did he put himself in there with Salma Hayes?
I'm sure he was all over that. But anyway, really? to get back to your initial point about
Altuve.
I agree with you. I don't want to see that happen with Mookie. I don't want to be like, oh,
I know.
No.
Well, and Mookie should not be a full-time shortstop.
He should not be.
But he's better at shortstop than Altuve is in left field.
He's more athletic than Altuve is. Because what's Altuve, 35?
37, I think.
Oh.
I think he's 37, Altuve. But he's like... Hey, well, check that for me, would you?
I will.
Fact check that. But Altuve is, look, left field notoriously is where bad defenders go. He's 34 years old. Like I said, he's only 34. So it's where bad defenders go because it's not going to cost you. And in Houston with
he's
the
34 years old, Spence.
Thank you.
He will be 35, like, as the season's starting, though.
Probably, I think that's his next age.
Is he going backwards?
Is that
the movie where Justin Timberlake has all the numbers and you can buy more time?
Time code?
No, that's Friends with Benefits.
No, time code's a whole different thing.
Time cop. That's what you're thinking.
Time cop. All right, there we go. By the way, Altuve was great in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was a minor character, one of the Manson women.
Minor characters are short. Yeah.
He played Leslie Van Houten, I believe. Maybe it was Patricia Krenwinkel. I don't know.
Bruce Dern's stand-in, I think, is what you're thinking of. Yeah, he was also just laying in bed. You just didn't see him.
Look, we covered a lot here. And candlesticks make a nice gift.
I do want to share this with you, Speaks, because I do think that you'll get something out of it.
Thank you, sir.
So my nephew is 32 now?
No, he's 34. He's going to be 35.
he texted me. And he said, who are the stars in baseball today?
This is your nephew, Jack McMullen, correct?
No, this is my nephew, Justin Holmes. And he said, who are the stars in baseball today?
Okay.
They do a terrible job marketing the new Sosa, Bonds, Griffey, et cetera. So I gave him a list. I said, well, Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, Otani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Mike Trout, but he keeps getting hurt. And this guy, Aaron Judge, the Cubs have, Kyle Tucker, has star potential. So it was fun. And I told him to then go look up Mookie Betts highlights because Mookie's a 300 bowler and he's my size, but he can dunk a basketball. He's this incredible athlete overall. Hmm. But it was interesting to me that just kind of out of the blue, my nephew texted me about this because he's like, I would like to get more involved in baseball. Is there anyone I can watch?
Oh, man.
Because they're not quite giving to me who I should be watching.
Yeah, Lawrence, I was told long ago when trying to generate
buzz. To walk in anyone's shadow?
Yeah, right. I was trying to generate buzz, and Buzz didn't like it. But I was trying to generate buzz for an MLB-related project, and I was told by somebody, MLB is a clunky organization. And I've never, ever forgotten that description. And anytime I work on anything, say the PBP podcast, I think about MLB being a clunky organization.
Well, it leads into what we want to talk about next.
It really does.
Because you nailed it. Because I couldn't figure out what I was feeling.
Yeah.
I knew I was feeling something, but you nailed it. Spiegs has a thought on the Tokyo series that you have to stick around for. And maybe you're feeling it too. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Top of the hour here in Tokyo. It's 9 o'clock local time.
And every night at 9 o'clock, they put down new lines on the batter's box here in Tokyo.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Really.
They are very punctual here in Tokyo. And we're glad you're with us. In the morning, back in the States, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Hope the traffic's not too bad. As you make your morning commute,
don't spill your coffee.
That's right. Buckle up, wear your seatbelt. And Wendell and the New York Mets and Chicago Cubs better put on the seatbelts as well. Four more innings of baseball tonight in the Tokyo Dome, and then another ball game tomorrow, and then both teams jet back to the good old USA on Friday.
The Cubs are in Japan. So are the Dodgers. They'll play a couple of games. We will air those games for you at 3 a.m. here on The Score, which is a good thing.
Man, that's Chip Carey and Bob Brenly.
I saw some of the old video from Sosa being over there in Japan during that series.
That's pretty cool. 14-hour time difference.
Brazil.
I love that Japan brought Sosa back this year.
14-hour time difference for...
baseball?
For
you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. 14-hour time difference for Tokyo. I
was thinking about this. I added it up on my world clock.
Tell me.
So that in case we wanted to reach out to Steven Nelson, we can make the ask, and I think it actually works. It's 6:33, so if we say to him, could you do a 7 a.m. hit, he might be able to do that.
So ask him.
I'm going to ask him.
That's your man's.
I'm ask him after he's been up a little while longer than this.
Alex Cohen was on with the morning show today, talking about the flight, talking about stuff that's going on. Here's the feeling that I'm having, Lawrence. This is very exciting. It's very cool that Japanese baseball is getting celebrated with two big-time iconic teams. And we'll feel it more when they're actually playing next week. But, like, there's pomp and circumstance and ceremony going on. It feels like there's a global happening that's going on right now, but we are just not a part of it. I'm feeling very disconnected from it. And I'm only getting dribs and drabs of little media things. When I chase it down myself, I don't feel like it's coming to me.
Marquee, I think, is doing a pretty good job. Like, with their social media, I've felt more involved with, like, what they're doing and sending over.
MLB is not.
That's the problem.
MLB is deeply... deeply not doing a good job with this. I feel like the Cubs themselves, their social media, is doing a decent job. They have now shared a couple of things. They shared Seiya Suzuki with the samurai sword taking BP.
Which is wild.
It's amazing. Those can't be real baseballs. It's got to be
like samurai sword.
Does that hurt the ball?
It sliced in half. But check it out, Shane. So you can figure out what kind of baseballs they are. I feel like it's like the squeezable,
the rubber ball,
the one that isn't a homer ball right now.
Yeah, the squeezable, like the rubberized ones. That maybe it's that, but he's definitely slicing each ball as he goes.
He was the greatest samurai in the empire.
Oh, the rest of that clip is just amazing.
Is having Seiya Suzuki take BP with a samurai sword the equivalent of having, like, one of our guys take BP with a hot dog?
You think, why? Because of Chicago? The Chicago, like, two on the
no,
nose?
No, just like American. No, hot dog bat-shaped thing, American.
Yeah. It'd be like one of us doing it with a firearm.
Well, Italian beef batting practice, so to speak, you know?
An AK-47,
yes.
Lawrence? Yeah.
Here's Mike Trout with an AK-47 batting practice.
It's such an American tradition to have mass shootings. Oh, God.
I wasn't going to say that. I was just going to say, we're a country.
You see, you got to be careful where you lead him, Lawrence.
Yeah, you're right.
Take me right down
that's
that
path. That's on you, Lawrence.
It is. Uh-huh. It's fair.
But, like, the moment that happened yesterday, which was freaking awesome, was, like, when they went to break the sake barrel, and it was Shota and Craig Council with these mallets breaking the sake barrel. And it's like a traditional thing you do at the beginning of a trip to have good tidings on the trip. And after they finished doing it, Shota turned and did the Craig Council batting stance
which
with
was
the barrel.
Great.
Super fun.
It's such a cool moment to have. And those are the types of things that I feel like baseball needs to do a better job of sharing. But what's the role that we play in it? You know, like I start thinking about all of that stuff of what's the role that we play in all of this. But
what we're doing is we're inundating our listeners and everybody with Bears news and Bears information because NFL free agency has dominated MLB in terms of the arrival of these teams and the coverage.
I agree, but that's fine for us because we do have multiple purposes that we're supposed to be playing to. We have to play to an audience that wants their Bears coverage. Major League Baseball does not.
Seriously, like the Twitter feed of Major League Baseball right now?
It should be nothing but that.
No, and there's like there's a lot of like random highlights from spring training games.
Which is not great. Like when I went on to MLB.com to before the show started, they have a little section in the bottom right that's about the Tokyo series. But it should be you open up that site and here's more content.
Yeah, they're pumping Spring Breakout on the as the top news story. And Spring Breakout is a really cool thing, and that's coming up. But it's like the first two stories are Spring Breakout, and then there's some news stories. And then there's like the random features that they have and like random predictive things. And you got to go down for a while until you get to the Japan trip stuff. Spring Breakout does start tonight, so I understand why they're doing that.
I've felt off this entire time, and I know that the idea of starting your season, stopping your season, going back to spring training, then starting your season again is part of the reason why I feel this way. That we're going to have to get up early to kind of watch those games.
And I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. And I like that. I think that the networks have been like, we're going to rerun them too for people that so that you can feel like, you know, you're in a better place to watch the game.
We're going
to
rerun them, by the way. So we're carrying the games live starting at 5 a.m. And then at 6 p.m. later that day after the Spiegel and Holmes show, we're going to give you Pat and Ron and Zach doing the games again.
So that's exciting.
We're pushing for it at 2 o'clock, by the way. behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, get it on the air. I mean, I actually think there'd be quite a few people who would listen to that.
Yeah. I'll listen at 6 on the way home.
I know. We're going to listen to it. Mm-hmm. But even like it throws everything off, and you want to get excited about it. I am tired of fighting the fight for Major League Baseball, for the sport of baseball, because Major League Baseball seemingly doesn't care. And I know that's an unfair way to speak about it.
I don't know that it's that they don't care. I know that it's that they're awkward. I know that much. Like I said, MLB is a clunky organization. But a texter suggests that they don't care. A texter suggests that the reality is that MLB doesn't care to bring the Japan games to us. They care only in this instance about bringing MLB to Japan. That they're there to sell themselves to the Japanese market and media and those financial streams.
Great. And I get it.
Maybe you think that's true? Think that has merit?
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, all of these leagues want to expand internationally. I don't have a problem with that. I do think, though, that you shouldn't just ignore your audience that's here. You shouldn't stop trying to grow the game in the United States because you are looking to a new market to expand to and have streams on and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It goes back to the guy who is the commissioner, and maybe this is the bias that I have. I feel like he doesn't care. And by proxy, I then say Major League Baseball doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And I know that each individual franchise, all of the players, they care. And maybe they just don't know. And maybe this will get better as we get closer to it. But it feels like a lost opportunity over the last just 24 hours of Major League Baseball trying to make this bigger than what they're doing right now.
And maybe they could have found some ways. The Cubs Twitter feed is doing what they can. These pictures of the Cubs party that was had, the caption that they just put out is, can confirm that Seiya and Shota throw the best parties. And it's all these Cubs, it's Seiya and Shota are the kingpins. They're the ones being home. There's Seiya looking very comfortable, raising a glass with a toast.
Well, the kingpin is Shohei, because Shohei had to go out the back door at the airport. There were thousands of people. I saw a quote from a Japanese baseball fan that said, I don't care if I see him or not. I just wanted to breathe the same air as Shohei Ohtani.
Don't ride that hard, dude. Come on.
Hey, where's that for when the teams come back from Japan? I don't think we're going to see that in L.A. or at O'Hare.
And the one player that's not there, our guy,
Tanny and I just got off the phone with Joe Johnson from Obvious Shirts. We have cooked up a masterpiece for Nico's shirt.
Oh, really?
When he didn't get one. Yeah.
Really?
Not going to tell you what it is, but we cooked up a masterpiece for
Nico.
Is it
piped down, little bitch?
No, but it should be.
Is that shirt
that should be a shirt.
With a picture of Grady Jarrett?
It's orange and blue.
Uh-huh.
A great man once said famously, you'll see the shirt. The shirt's coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see the shirt.
Well,
yeah.
We'll be ready.
All right,
I guess it should be a silhouette of Jordan Love. Silhouette of Jordan Love with pipe down a little bit.
Joe's like, I could probably sell this. I was like, yeah. Here's your money, brother.
Yeah, we want you. We want Joe and Obvious Shirts to make money. Joe, we don't want to just have the shirts to have the shirts.
He should have that thought more often. He sells shirts. That's what they do.
Huh.
My God.
He's good at it.
We'll finish baseball hour by having a conversation about who the Cubs might add to their rotation.
Yeah, man. It's a little sketchy.
Reports have been out there, and we'll discuss whether or not it makes sense.
Top of the hour, Mark Grody with great tape and sound from Halas Hall on the Bears' new signings.
With a Bears hit, two words, at five. Baseball next on the score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
What's his first name?
You're supposed to know that.
Sorry. Is that offensive?
Do you know his partner?
I don't. I mean, I met him at Cubs convention, but I don't know his name.
Afternoons on the score.
Is that your station?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, Lance Lynn is amped. He said, let's go. Oh, and a couple of other things, too.
I'm a big bastard. That's how I know.
Lance Lynn is a big bastard, but not anymore. I'll be interested to see Lance Lynn if he does indeed show up at Cubs camp. Bob Nightingale reported earlier today that the Cubs and Lance Lynn were working to finalize a one-year deal. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show here on 670 The Score. Back to the Bears at the top of the hour. Lance Lynn had talked in this offseason that he was ready to be a reliever. Said he's been getting calls about possibly being a closer.
I'm not letting him close.
Yeah, I mean, that was the context. It seemed like it had some kind of a reporter favor vibes in that particular article. But
I mean, I guess in a couple of different situations, maybe it makes sense. But as my closer, I'm good.
But he was quoted as saying that Tony La Russa told him years ago in St. Louis he had closer mentality. I would agree with that.
He does. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I mean, if
we were talking about 32-year-old, Lance Lynn?
Oh, sure. But here's the thing. He does have the closer mentality because you just got to go out there and throw it and go after people. That's what made Dennis Eckersley a great closer. La Russa did it. You know, he did it famously with that guy, and he's done it with other guys. You just go out there and you go after people. You use location and you just trust your stuff and go. Lance Lynn's stuff is bad now, but that's him as a starter. He's indeed in much better shape, lost about 25 pounds, supposedly, after talking to Adam Wainwright, talking to Chris Carpenter, CC Sabathia, former teammates and vets who lasted a long time. He wants to pitch a long time. And he said he's open to relief. I'm a little more intrigued than everybody else on this, but only as a short relief option and only if the velocity is ticked up with the
better fitness.
With the better fitness and with the just rearing back and throwing and giving it everything you have at this point in your career mentality of a reliever instead of a starter.
So you're thinking he can be a high leverage reliever. I keep wondering if he's a bulk guy. There are going to be some days that you have to start, Lance. There are some days where we're going to have you throw an inning so that you can stay on routine. That
makes a lot of sense because you know he's a guy who'll just take the ball whenever and he'll just give you whatever the hell you need from day to day. If he's that the long man or the swing man.
Yeah, I don't even know what to call that anymore.
Bulk, you're right.
I think bulk is probably the best way to describe it.
For a bullpen game, maybe he'd be a guy to give you two or three innings in the middle, that kind of thing. But I don't know if you want him that much. Council's got a reputation for being creative with usage. We didn't see it a ton last year. Maybe we'll see it more this year.
I think you're absolutely going to see it more this year because now he knows where all of the bodies are buried. He knows how to to kind of look inside this organization. And he helped similarly to what we've been talking about with Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jed Hoyer now has a partner.
Absolutely.
And his name is Craig Counsell. I think Craig Counsell might be the most powerful person on a baseball, from the baseball standpoint, in that organization right now.
I mean, there's some dudes on this roster, on the active roster, who you're like, I mean, Tyson Miller is one who's been bad this spring. He's been real bad this spring. Maybe Lance Lynn is just a depth arm instead of a guy like Tyson Miller. You know, like, I'd rather see Colin Ray start.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Ben Brown get a chance to start.
That full circle Colin Ray thing is interesting, too.
Yeah, man, but there's like, but Keegan Thompson's on this roster. So, like, if you think that Lance Lynn, because of the veteran experience and because of the factors we've been talking about, is a better fit for you than Keegan Thompson or Tyson Miller, I'm not going to freak out about that. If that's what we're talking about, we're talking about an arm at the back end of that, or bottom end of that bullpen. I'm not going to freak out about it.
Started 23 times last year.
I know. And
there's value in that.
Yeah, but look at the numbers, dude. And look at the Baseball Savant page. A lot of blue on the Baseball Savant page.
Yeah. That velo is...
There's no red. There's no red anywhere on the Baseball Savant page.
He still gave you 117 and a third. So...
There's also the fact that he's... Is he a bag? That's the thing. Like, is there a major bag alert issue for Lance Lynn? You know?
My interactions with Lance was not him being a bag. You know what he is? A red ass. And to me, that's different.
I can echo that, say the same, and say that I've heard allegations of major bag alert.
Well, see,
but I have not had that experience.
What was reported was that he and Joe Kelly didn't want to show up for Liam Hendricks' welcome back press conference after the cancer.
He was there. Because I was there.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay.
I was there.
All right. Well,
do we
so they
still
were
have
there.
Him drunk at the Waste Management
yeah,
Open.
We do, but we got this other, like, he's always kind of affectionately referred to himself this way as a butthole.
I've always been.
Like, you know what I mean? So he knows he's that.
Yeah, and that's okay.
It's totally fine.
That's lovely.
I still actually like the guy a ton.
Well, that's lovely. If you can be self-aware, like, I'll take a self-aware butthole over a non-self-aware butthole every time.
That's just a funny drop.
Big old bastard. Lance Lynn. Lance, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting here at the Waste Management Golf Tournament.
How many beers in are we?
Oh, I don't drink.
Okay. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? What's the score going to be and why?
Man, Chiefs in the over.
Yeah, there, my
Chiefs
man.
Chiefs in the over. Lance knows.
Man, after my own.
I don't gamble though.
Right.
No,
yeah, you don't gamble.
Or
don't drink.
Huh.
Must be tough for you out there to find friends at the Waste Management Open.
I know. I'm over here by myself in the corner.
Don't drink. Don't smoke. What do you do?
Subtle innuendo follow.
That same year, Joe Kelly was supposed to give us a Super Bowl pick and was too drunk,
standing right next to Lance Lynn. Maybe.
In the corner.
Theoretically.
In the corner.
It really is amazing the bad cell service you get over at that Waste Management Open, huh? Mm-hmm. Guys, all of a sudden, they just can't operate their phones.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, my phone doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. Sorry about that.
When we come back, we've got a Bears hit, two words, with Mark Grody. He's got stuff from the press conferences, stuff that you didn't hear. It's next on The Score.